Welcome to New Narrative Southeast Asia Dispatches. I'm your host, Bonibel Rambatan, Editorial Manager for New Narrative. New Narrative is a movement to democratize democracy in Southeast Asia, and this podcast is one of the ways we attempt to do just that. This episode was recorded in front of an online live audience as part of our Media Freedom Network legal briefing activity. It is also part of our Pegasus series, a series of podcasts, comics, articles, and other conversations on the Israeli spyware Pegasus and its unlawful applications in Indonesia and the rest of Southeast Asia. Today, we'll be having two speakers, Imal from SafeNet and Chatmani Taisonti from iLaw. Imal is the head of digital security at SafeNet. Established in 2013 in line with the increasing criminalization of expression in the digital arena in Southeast Asia, SafeNet has since expanded its work to defend digital rights, including the right to internet access, the right to freely express ourselves, and the right to safety in digital spaces. Chatmani Taisonti is a full-time lawyer at Rising Sun Law, responsible for the Pegasus spyware lawsuits. Her focus issues right now are environmental law, freedom of the press, and digital rights. She previously worked for the Human Rights Lawyers Association, taking part in monitoring SLAPP cases in Thailand and assisting in strategic litigation against abuses of power. Plus, we also have some audience questions at the end, which is always fun. Without further ado, let's get to the discussion. Thank you so much for this opportunity, for having me here. Just in case you missed out on what, or you forgot what Pegasus is, it's essentially a single-click exploit spyware, which means that you don't need to do anything. You just need to receive a strange text message from an unknown number or, you know, a missed call from someone, which you don't even have to pick up. And boom, your data is all there. Even your biometric data, your camera data, like everything is there. And obviously, when you ask about what the government can do or will do with such data, we already have precedents, which is like Jamal Khashoggi was famously spied on using Pegasus. Not only Jamal, but also members of his family. His late wife was there. And then obviously, we all know how the authoritarian governments can work by leaking our data to create, to sway public opinion, leak fake news, and all of these things, construct certain narratives about activists. And so that's what makes it dangerous. Yeah, and of course, it's a really big threat for democracy. I quoted Maika Ningtyas, whom I met during the IG press conference back then. This is a matter of controlling information and closing down spaces for critique, voicing out against corrupt officials, drafted bills, or even public services just in the form of complaints on social media can potentially put you at risk. So that's definitely very dangerous for democracy, but it's not always doom and gloom, because we do need to do, and we can still do, and we need to do a lot of things, which is, you know, demand transparency from the government, create lawsuits, which we'll be talking a lot more about with our guests today. And again, all of these questions that we have the right to ask the governments and also the cell phone providers, the technology providers, how are these dynamics at play here, which we will be discussing a lot more about today. Okay, so I wanted to just bring this discussion back into the current state of geopolitics today, which is, you know, making it like a lot more relevant, but also at the same time, it should not be just treated as some kind of coincidence or some kind of, yeah, those two are happening at the same time. And it's not only the case that, Pegasus spyware is a threat in Southeast Asia and the rest of the world, and it just so happens that it was made by Israel. So that's not the case. It's just not as simple as that. But as Anthony Lowenstein, I'm quoting a few parts here in his book. It's an excellent book called The Palestine Laboratory. It's a very new book published just this year. It claims that Israel exports technology and occupation and ideology across the world, one of which is Pegasus. So here we can ask who actually benefits from Israel's occupation of Palestine. It turns out that many countries do, including Indonesia, including everyone, every government, every party that actually utilizes Pegasus, because Pegasus, as well as other military softwares or military arms that Israel is developing, is actually you know, developed in relation to their occupation of Palestine and using Palestine as a laboratory, so to speak, utilizing the people there as unwitting test subjects for these things. So these are all very tied together in the current global geopolitical context, which once again we can probably discuss in a little bit deeper later down the line. But I don't want to take too much of the stage today. That's just laying out the groundwork for what our discussion will be. And now let's just move on. We have our first speaker, which is Kaimal from SafeNet. I'll just hand over the floor to you, Kaimal.
Thank you very much, Bonnie. As you know, Pegasus is Greek mythology. And then the spyware, especially in Indonesia, started to be widely discussed in last year, if I'm not mistaken, especially after report from the Indonesia leaks. Even though the research has been carried out for a long time before. At the time, when we talk about Pegasus, maybe in 2020, 2018, 2019, many people consider it it's still a myth until now. Pegasus itself is named is malware that name how I can spell it, Pawn Your Home, is known to attack iOS 15 and 16 via iMessage feature. So it's attacking Apple device. And another malware called Find My Pawn, PWN. There is no vocal letter, which was designed by Pegasus to attack to Find My Feature and then iMessage feature. All devices will be get attacked with spyware. So in my background, if I close my camera again, if you're not buying the product, you're the product. I believe this from Social Dilemma movie. In Indonesia, Pegasus attack is expected to have targeted 12 top government and military official. We believe that what happened with the activists and journalists, we cannot test the victim. That's the main problem. And the Citizen Lab is experiencing the same thing when they want to test the telephone device of the number of hacking victim in Thailand. Many of the victim don't want to be published as a victim because it's a political or maybe military thing. This spyware is very expensive. The target will be top level person. But how we can describe the top level person? Is it Imal is not top level person? I don't know. Maybe Bonnie is it? Maybe Raja is it? We all able to be a victim. So we never know how to indicate the top level. Pegasus attack is target by planting a type of malware into someone's phone. That is the very tricky thing. But how to plan the malware? There is two types. There is a single click, one click, and the zero click. The one click type is when you get message, text, or pictures, or phone call, anything, and you click that message, and the spyware will be planted at your device. But the zero click is more fun to play because you don't have to click anything. You have the money, you have the power, you send the spyware and you can spy the one you want. That's the fun part of the technology. The big question every time we, SafeNet or maybe a technical person talk about Pegasus, the big question is there any application that can be used to detect, to prevent? And until today, the answer is still no. They create a myth. The myth has become a thing. And now the thing, we cannot hold it back. If it come, it come. I often to talk about digital security because that's my area. Digital security is not about the tools. Digital security is not about application, about newest software, about newest type of handphone. No. That is number 2, 3, 4, 5, and so on. The most important thing in digital security is the behavior. How you use the tool, how you use the device. That is the most important thing when we spoke about digital security.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Kaimal. I think that's a pretty good primer also. I think just adding on a little bit there, Apple just released, I think early September, they did release like a security patch for Pegasus, but then obviously there, yeah, okay, we can talk more about that. But now let's move on to what the activist in Thailand has done in response to that, which is to actually file lawsuits to several people, to the Thai government and all of that. So for this, we will speak to Chatmani and Apirak. So there are a couple of lawsuits there. We have the administrative lawsuit, we have a civil lawsuit, but let's just do this one by one, and let's just start with the very beginning, which is the legal overview of the condition in Thailand. Please, Chatmani, Apirak.
So before we start, I want to give like a legal overview of Thai law. We claim to be a democratic country and we have a constitution which protects the right to privacy. And in that constitution, it said that the right to privacy cannot be violated or derogated unless it is provided by law necessary for the public interest. So that is the whole thing we have to protect our privacy. But the thing is, even though we have that kind of protection, we still have a lot of laws that give power to the authorities to exploit your personal information or to probe and get access to your personal information, including using Pegasus spyware. So we have several things that the officers can use, like the Narcotic Controls Act, Special Investigation Act, National Security Act, Cyber Security Act, Computer Crime Act. So all of those laws give the officers the power to use spyware, to hack into your system and get access to your personal information. But why Pegasus spyware? So what happened is that during the 2020 to 2021, we had a massive political movement in Thailand due to a failed governance of the military junta. And that resulted in the COVID, the last straw was the COVID-19, where it sucked so bad that a lot of people died, not because of the COVID directly, but mainly because of the failed governance and failed dissemination of vaccines and all this stuff, and the staff of medical staffs. So there was the huge political movement in those couple of years. And what happened is that we found a trace of Pegasus spyware against the human rights defenders or political activists, at least 35 people that have been hacked by Pegasus spyware. And just like Iman just mentioned, that there are so many people that have been hacked by Pegasus spyware, but many of them refuse to send their phones or come forward that they have been hacked, that they have been a victim to the Pegasus spyware. So that is the legal overview and what happened in Thailand in a couple of years back when we just saw how Pegasus is actually dangerous to our society. So what happened is that we have two lawsuits. So the first one is administrative lawsuit, which focused on the liability of the government authorities. So we have in chief Achanon, who is the director of ILAW and the political activist at Anun Nampa. He is a human rights lawyer. So those two are the plaintiffs of the administrative lawsuit who sued against 9 government authorities. So the government authorities that we sued are the Office of Prime Minister, who is the superior of the National Intelligence and National Security Committee. And the next is the Royal Thai Police. The third one is Ministry of Digital for Economics and Society, Royal Thai Army, Royal Thai Air Force, Royal Thai Navy, the Department of Special Investigation, the Ministry of Finance, and Cybersecurity Oversight Committee. So all of those 9, why we have to sue those 9 authorities is that because we found a trace that the government purchased Pegasus spyware from NSO, but we have no proof which authority used that. So we have to go back to the law. So we have to review the law in Thailand to see which kind of authorities that have the power to use spyware against people for specific purposes. So that's why there are 9 government authorities being sued here. So basically, we claim that the plaintiffs was hacked by the Pegasus spyware during the political protest, political movement, and that use of Pegasus spyware was politically motivated to stifle people's voice, to stifle the freedom of expression, to stifle the freedom of assembly. Why we know that is that because we cross-check the timeline and the use of Pegasus spyware that we sent for the computer forensic, and it matched. So it is politically motivated, and it's not for public interest, and it was not necessary. So we sue them that first, it's breached the Constitution, and the second is that it's breached the Computer Crime Act, because Pegasus spyware, as we all probably know now, that it's a highly invasive spyware that can get into all of your personal information, including your bank accounts, your bank statement, your microphone, your camera, your pictures and stuff. So it's hacked into a password protector system and information and gain access to the information during the transmission. So our claims are that the use of Pegasus spyware violated Constitution and the use of Pegasus spyware violated the Computer Crime Act. So based on that, we don't just stop there. So we actually reach beyond the border of the domain legal principle. So we reach for the international standards as well. And we also claim that the use of Pegasus spyware actually is a violation of ICCPR and UDHR. And violated other human rights, which related to the right to privacy. Yeah, so we mentioned here that the use of Pegasus spyware violated ICCPR Constitution, that includes the right to privacy, the freedom of expression, and other related rights, which will be into our prayers for relief. So in the administrative lawsuits, we asked the court to order first to suspend the use of Pegasus spyware against the plaintiffs and provide information about the previous use, because we want to know which information that they actually gained from the plaintiffs and return those information back to the plaintiffs and delete it from the defendant's database. And the second one is compensation in total 5 million baht. So 2,500,000 each. That also includes both the physical compensation and fundamental compensation as well. So right now the case is still in the administrative court, because the court just has the order not to accept the case based on that they view that the use of Pegasus spyware is in relation to criminal investigation. So they stated that this case should go to the criminal court instead. So right now that order is now being appealed, because we stated that the use of Pegasus spyware is politically motivated. It is not a part of police investigation. And it would put a lot of burden of proof on the plaintiffs. We have to go through the whole process of criminal case, and that would result in more violation of their human rights. So that is our first case.
Yeah, I think we can move on to the second lawsuit, which is the civil lawsuit, as far as I understand, and we can collect the questions later in the Q&A session.
So the next lawsuit that we do it concurrently is the civil lawsuit. It's Jadu Patwasud, NSO Group Technologies. He's also the political activist, and he's also a recipient of the Gwangju Human Rights Award. We only have one defendant for this case, which is NSO Group Technologies, who is the producer developers of Pegasus spyware in Israel. So we claim that the acts of producing, developing, selling, controlling, and using Pegasus spyware violated the Constitution and Computer Crime Act, because as I mentioned, that this the use of Pegasus spyware against the political activists is politically motivated. It's not legal, and it serves just a purpose, just to restrict people's human rights, and it's illegally hacked into the password protected system and information. And we also put it there is that it's also violated UDHR, ICCPR, and it is considered illegal under the Convention on Cybercrime. The reason that we try to put in the international standard is not only just for the to hold the defendants accountable, but we want to see some of the policy change by using the litigation forum. to send some voice to the government or to the policymakers that the use of Pegasus spyware, the fact that the government is buying and using Pegasus spyware is not right. It's not in conformity with international law, and you should have the policy changed to that to restrict the use of Pegasus spyware in Thailand. So in this case, we asked for first suspend the use of Pegasus spyware against the plaintiff and return the information to the plaintiff and delete that information from the defendant's database. And the second one is that return the information that the defendant has given to Thai government agencies, because we know that NSO is like a middleman that control the Pegasus spyware and use the Pegasus spyware against the target and transfer those information to the government agencies. So we want that information back as well. And the last thing is the compensation in total to 2,500,000 baht. So in doing the case of the Pegasus spyware case against all of those government agencies and also against the Israel-based company NSO Group, which is overseas, there are a lot of limitations when it comes to filing lawsuits in Thailand. So the first one is the limitation obstacle in relation to obtaining the evidence and information, including the information concerning the government's operation. In Thailand, we have a clause that called national security, that basically a big umbrella where the government or the government officers can use to exempt themselves from the accountability or exempt themselves from some of the legal provisions. So the purchase of Pegasus spyware is now a sealed document. So we cannot get that document. So right now, that's why we sue the governments and also NSO Group to both courts, so that we can use that forum to gain access to those documents. The second is that the limited knowledge of Thai courts. Thai courts is not that accustomed to spyware, really. And Pegasus spyware is very new in Thailand, although even though it happened like quite a couple of years back, Thai courts do have that limited knowledge, and we have to explain that in both legal language and in human language that the court can actually understand. So that is a huge limitation for us. The third and the fourth limitation is that the cost of suing foreign companies and the obstacle in dealing the court's documents to the defendant's domicile and the translation fees and other stuff, because we have to translate everything. We have to submit to the court the document in Thai, but we have to send them the document in English, and we have to send them to Israel. So that put a lot of cost and a lot of obstacles in our way. So right now, but the good news is that the document has been delivered, so NSO has been served. So there will appoint a lawyer, and we will see how the court proceeding goes from here.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, Chatmani. It does have some, you know, because last time I spoke to Ying Chip, and it seems like these limitations are really, really, you know, troubling. I mean, you can enumerate it like four of them, but then each of them is really, you know, it's really causing a lot of trouble, right? I want to get back to that maybe a little bit later on how you're managing all of that. But yeah, so some of you have submitted questions, which is like, do we have evidence that governments or elements within Southeast Asia are using Pegasus to spy on their citizens? Yes, I do believe that we do have that. I mean, that's why the whole lawsuit thing in Thailand is happening. That's why Indonesia with the whole Indonesia leaks is making like big news splash in the media and among the activists again. But I'm just gonna let let's go to Ka Imal first. Can you tell us a bit about how we found out initially that the government is using Pegasus, or some parties in Indonesia at least is using Pegasus to spy on citizens but also government officials?
We all believe that we will find something when we doing some random checking. So we always said it's our right to show ourselves, to talk about what we believe, to show our expression. But from the perspective of people in IT, in information technology, specifically from people who can read trash data, like Chatmani Thaisonti, if I'm not mistaken. And then I will Googling it, and then I adding the what another indicator like Thailand, like ILO, and something and something and something. Maybe I will find something. Maybe I'm not. I don't know. But that is the fun part of try to find something in the area. Like we try to find the black cat in a room that there is no light in that room. So we don't know if there is a black cat inside or not. So from there, Indonesian League try to searching what happened with like export import manifest and something and something and something, and find an item that the price, like when you buy an iPhone, like maybe 2 billion, how you can say the price at dollar for iPhone. I don't know. Yeah, $200 or maybe $2,000, I don't know the price. But in that manifest, in the document said iPhone with the price is 10 times higher. So from that something begin another investigation and find, yeah, this one is Pegasus sent from outside Indonesia to go inside and being used by people inside Indonesia.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, because we did manage to get there's a mysterious transaction, as you mentioned, with like exorbitant numbers. I also forgot the number back then, but we managed to get like the actual hardware, the shipping number, like the shipping code, and then okay, this is Pegasus, and then like the shell companies used to buy that, and then I think some people actually went to SJBD in Jakarta trying to find the office, but like no one's there, so it's all this tangled mess. And to add to that complexity, Indonesia, just to remind everyone here, Indonesia does not have a diplomatic relationship with Israel, which means that this is actually a purchase that is illegal, because you know it's a military arms deal, but it's conducted between two countries without diplomatic relationship, which again adds yet another layer to this whole complexity. I want to go to Chatmani or Apirak. You can either of you can answer this, but can you tell us about the first time that you know the activists there, or you guys at ILO, or the first inkling, the first evidence you have that, hey, yes, this is actually the Thailand government is actually using Pegasus against us. What was the first thing that gave it away?
So the first thing is that the human rights defenders or political activists actually received emails from Apple stating that you might be a target of a state-sponsored attack. So that was our first clue, but we didn't know what it was. So ILO organized all of this and sent the phones for the computer forensics with Citizen Lab and have the result confirm that, yes, you are hacked by Pegasus spyware. And not just that, but because we dig a little deeper and we found out Pegasus is only sold to the government. And we have like some reports that she stated that we have been purchasing Pegasus and other spywares for quite some time. It shows through the IP address or domain name in Thailand. And there are some procurement documents from the government that's been showed in the parliament session that suggested that the government is trying to buy a new version of Pegasus spyware. So that's the first thing. And we also have the parliamentary sessions that actually discussed about the trace of spyware or Pegasus spyware in Thailand. So all of the documents are out based in the lawsuits. And right now we're trying to get more document and more evidence by using the court forum as well. So we'll see how it goes from that. Even though, like, even we will get any news evidence from here.
Yeah, so they're basically like updating their subscription to Pegasus, like keeping getting new. That's horrible. Skipping that for now, where and how can we get more information about this? There are lots of information available. I think lots of you know, our speakers here have also done lots of work on that. We have some links. I think one of the biggest, if not the biggest, investigation is right now conducted by Forbidden Stories, which is called the Pegasus Project. One of the you know, other large investigations in the more technological side is conducted by the Citizens Lab in Canada, which we've also spoken about with the on our podcast. So yeah, we can talk more about that later, surely. But let's move on to a couple of questions that, are there ongoing regulatory or legislative efforts in Southeast Asia aimed at controlling the sale and use of spyware like Pegasus, and what can be done to strengthen such efforts? So aside from the lawsuits here, has like maybe the government or like activists been pushing for like, okay, this isn't right. Aside from just suing the government, we should also make regulations, for example. Are there movements like this in Southeast Asia?
I think in Thailand, ILO has been trying to raise more awareness about the Pegasus spyware and the dangers of that spyware. So because Pegasus spyware is relatively new in our countries, most of the people don't know yet what is Pegasus spyware, whether they've been hacked. So right now, the first step is to raise awareness among people. And I think another way to strengthen those efforts is that we need to have some kind of public participation in the public governance, more participation, including how the budget is spent as a way to check and balance. And I always think that the transparency policies for the government, that should be public, especially how you spend our money, because like Imo just said, Pegasus is very expensive. So I think transparency policy should be taking place as well.
Yeah, that's that brings it into this whole thing about you know, civic spaces that are shrinking, but also it's like a chicken and egg problem, because to push for these regulations, obviously you need like a big civic spaces, as you mentioned, you know, people pushing for these changes, people like demanding transparency on a larger scale, not only just for Pegasus but on a larger scale. But then with Pegasus here, people are scared, and it's just this a bit of a challenge there. But I want to address the question in the chat box there, from Nun, from Engage Media. So yeah, NSO has claimed they're not responsible for the applied use of the software as per the article, which I would say is a very characteristic of like tech CEOs when their inventions are used in horrible, horrible ways. They always say like, we're just making the tools, we're not responsible for using them. What would you say to this? Let's go to Kaimal first. What are your comments on these types of responses?
So people say it like that. It's like when you buy knife to cut onion or something in the kitchen, but that knife also can be used something else harmful to another person. So I think that is what the NSO people use, that analogy. But the main problem is their tool is meant to wiretapping our communication. So it's already by design to listening, to become a third person in personal communication. So that's funny question, funny answer.
Yeah. Does this Chatmani? Does this hinder in any way the lawsuit that the civil lawsuit that you're filing against NSO?
It's a hindrance, but it's the predictable one, because they've been arguing this forever. Basically in every platform that they can, but we can support our claim by many ways. As we know that NSO is responsible for this, as they are the one producing and the one that's selling, and they have that duty of care to streamline what kind of their clients are. So by selling to military governments, they kind of know. It's kind of like obvious that what they're gonna use it for. So we're gonna have a lot of professional amicus that will help us with this, and a lot of other documents or a lot of evidence that will improve them on this.
Yeah, hopefully hopefully their excuse doesn't fly, because it is a pretty silly excuse. And to think that, you know, they know what they're doing, and the context, again, in the context of the larger geopolitical conflict going on right now, it's like you're exporting even the ideology of, like, it's okay to crush other people and activists and stuff like that, which is like, you know, obviously they're Southeast Asia, Thailand, Indonesia are not the only countries that's been afflicted with Pegasus. But what do you think are the lessons that can be learned from the other regions, the other countries that have faced these similar challenges? What have they done? What did they do really to mitigate or like to counter these the threat of Pegasus from activists from other countries or other regions? And are there successful strategies or policies that we can adopt?
For the lesson learned is that I think that litigation is one thing, but only litigation is not going to be successful to mitigate or control the use of Pegasus spyware. I think based on what we've learned, like the investigation from Forbidden Stories, public awareness and public participation is very important. So it's not just a litigation, but we also need public participation to put a lot of pressures on the government as well to succeed in controlling the use of Pegasus or abolish the use altogether. And I think another thing that we've seen from other countries is that the mega social media platforms, they should take action for illegal breach of privacy as well, because NSO, the Pegasus spyware, is actually hacked into their system to gain our personal information. So I think that one of the successful strategies is the case in the America that WhatsApp and Apple's actually sued NSO for breaching the system. So I think that's one of the strategies that we can look into, and transparency policy should be adapted in Southeast Asia as well.
They're not only selling the software, but they're responsible to maintain periodically. Then obviously, you know, iOS update, security patch, and then obviously there's gonna be Chatmani, as you mentioned earlier, the government is already looking to buy the latest update. So the Pegasus software will have more updates that, oh yeah, this can work around this patch, no problem, right? That's always the battle between these things. I'm wondering though, whether is Apple doing anything against NSO, or these larger companies, are the lawsuits only coming from activists, from these from the people who have a lot of trouble getting the lawsuit and getting the money and everything together? Or are also larger companies like Apple and everything else doing something against NSO or against Pegasus and the idea of all of these zero-click spywares in general?
I think Apple's actually sued NSO, but I haven't heard about the update yet. It's only went to court, and they are going back and forth about the jurisdictions and all of those things. So we haven't had any result yet, but they've been suing NSO in California for two cases, I guess, Facebook and Apple.
It's a very complex situation, and it's like, you know, getting sued from multiple angles, but they're still there, they're still around. That means like it's very beneficial for a lot of like oppressive and authoritarian regimes to it's obviously also very effective because the demand is still there. Okay, so in the face of these increasing digital surveillance threats, how can we individuals and organizations better protect their privacy and data? What tools and practices can be recommended, and what kind of cybersecurity parameters that's effective to protect our data? Well, I'm just gonna start a little bit bleak here, because once you get Pegasus like a zero-click exploit, then it means that there's nothing you can do, You just one day you just get a missed call from an unknown number and boom, your data is all gone. That's how scary it is. You don't even have to click on a link. You don't have to, with the single clicks, yes, you might have to, click on a mysterious message or whatever, but it's no longer like that. So there's absolutely nothing you can do, but, keep yourself updated, with these security patches that Apple puts out, for example. Hopefully there are others that's coming out, but it is unfortunately a battle between these, like a giant corporation versus another giant corporation that's a lot more militaristic and authoritarian and stuff like that. So unfortunately that's the general gist of it. That being said though, any recommendations, Kaimal?
When someone ask me this kind of question, I will ask another question to answer it. Who is your partner to sleep when you sleep? It's very, very personal question, but that's important. Who is the closest thing? What is the closest thing when you sleep? Is it your partner or your phone? The answer is our phone. We attach which this small device when we first start to open our eyes and before we close our eyes. Even in the bedroom, sometimes we just bring our phone. So what tools and practice can be recommended? Your behavior. Last year, to prevent the Pegasus, there is a small thing to do, but I believe it I don't know if it still can be done until this day. That small thing is restarting your handphone. So periodically you restart your handphone. That is small thing, and we never do that.
What does it do? What does it do? What does restarting the phone do for those not knowing?
In your device, there is a lot of hardware, and one of the hardware is RAM. Random blah 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 memory as technique thing, you don't have to know about that, but that memory will be erased back to zero when you restart the device. So the spyware is planted there, so when you restart the your mobile phone, it's gone. Random access memory, thank you. So there is RAM, there is ROM, and there is storage. When you restart your handphone, your smartphone, your laptop, boom, it's gone. I believe that still can be happen. We still can be do that. Maybe last year, I don't know if the newest Pegasus can be erased by that simple cheap method. But this is the fun part. NSO is not only create Pegasus. So don't worry if your place is there is no Pegasus in your place right now. Don't worry, the NSO still have another product. There is a circle. There is this. There is that.
Yeah, that's both hopeful and bleak at the same time. I'm not sure how it happens. But like, yeah. Thank you for the information though, Chatmani, or maybe Apira. We haven't heard from you. Do you have any recommendations?
There's no absolute protection against Pegasus. And as a lawyer, I don't know any other technological advance. So better update your iOS or Android. And if you get an email that you might be a target to state sponsor attack, maybe reach out to the organizations in your countries to help with that. Like in Thailand, you can reach out to iLaw if you get that email to get your phone checked and other stuff. And just be aware of your surroundings. Like if you're having like a super, super important secretive meetings, maybe considering leave your phone out of the meeting or some kind of stuff. So that's more like a manual kind of way to fix the problem. But I guess that be aware of what you're doing. I guess that would be one way to protect your data.
Yeah, thank you. Again, it's a pretty complicated challenge. There are also other kinds of threats, other products. Just addressing what Imal said earlier, with working with different kinds, but yeah, changing your behavior as to not rely so much on your phone, leaving it somewhere so that if you're worried that it might spy on you, that's always a small but minimum thing, but it might help. Yeah, don't click on anything you don't know. That's also always a good thing. Even if, you know, you might get inheritance from a Nigerian prince or something, just try not to click on those things. Looking ahead, what are the key actions and advocacy initiatives that should be prioritized in the fight against Pegasus and similar spywares in Southeast Asia? I want to relate this to Nan's comment earlier. Strategy to promote transparency. That leads to from Chat Money's earlier comment to this one. You'd like to invite CSOs to turn to the Open Government Partnership Initiative. Nan, would you like to unmute yourself and tell us more about this?
Yeah, sure. Hi, everyone. My name is Nan, Digital Rights Project Coordinator for Engage Media. So Open Government Partnership is a cluster of CSO and government. It's a channel for collaboration between government and CSO to co-draft action plans to address different areas of to improve democratic processes. And one of these policy areas is digital governance. And it does include the surveillance software and what we talked about today as well. So I think at the top of my head, what we can do is first, we have to push our government to be open to this initiative because it will boost well and boast well in the international community. But how the process works is that once your government signs or pledge to collaborate in the OTP, then they will co-draft the action plan with a number of CSOs for the next 4 years. And then the OTP will have a mechanism in which they will monitor whether that action plan is being addressed and whether actions are taken. And if we put surveillance technology into the priority list of the policy areas to be addressed, then we can ask the governments to, for example, be transparent about their procurement of any technology in the name of national security. I paste the link there if you would like to learn more about it. There are so much resources that you can learn from. Unfortunately, Thailand has not signed up for this yet. You can sign up at the national government level or local municipal level, so you can start small as well. But I like to paste the link here. Indonesia has pledged for a number of commitments actually, and has been following through with it. And so I think it could be a channel where a CSO could push this at the international stage.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I didn't know this. I didn't know the mechanisms of this, and just connecting it with like the pushing for transparency of procurement of surveillance software and stuff like that. Thank you, Nan, for this information. All right, let's go to Shuaib first, and then Nan, if you have like other responses, we'll let you speak afterwards. Thank you. Shuaib, go ahead.
So I have one question, because I understand this discussion is more focused on Southeast Asian country, like Indonesia, Thailand, other country. But in Bangladesh, we had faced a very similar incident in case of Pegasus, using the Pegasus spyware, because you stated earlier a Forbidden Stories report and Harit's report. So from 2022 till we have various media published so many reports, which is clearly indicate that the NSO group is sold to their spyware. It's not just Pegasus. There are other spyware like Snakecatcher and other spyware activities sold in Bangladesh. And the Bangladesh government is regularly purchased them and using against the people. So and also it's very interesting to say that our experience is also very similar to Indonesia, because we don't have even diplomatic relations to Israel, but our civil society and our technical group is very even sometimes they're not understanding what is going here and not intervene this matter to dissolve it or something like that. So my question is for Imal and Chakmani, also from Nan. So how, is it any way to look into the country like Bangladesh is also just what it's a, is any way to focus it's not just technical collaboration. We need a awareness campaign against spyware, and we also need capacity building in our civil society organizations and activists, so they're really able to understand the possible danger and also identify these problems. So I'm sorry, my English sucks.
No problem. Thank you so much for the information. That's I didn't know that Bangladesh was also dealing with this despite the lack of like diplomatic relations with Israel, which is fascinating. So to your question regarding, you know, moving beyond Southeast Asia and building capacity building and stuff like that, would SafeNet be? Masimal, I'll just hand it over to you.
Actually, what Shoaib told is something that we hope we will go after this talking. So we just not done with just today we talk about this, we have mitigation like that and that like that. No, NSO, not only NSO, out there spyware still growing, and everyone can be a victim. So yeah, NSO is just corporation. Indonesia is one of the country. It's like a economic relationship. The one who had something to sell and someone who had money to buy, just like that. And there is still a lot of seller out there. So yeah, it's important that we gather and make doing something to raise this issue.
Yeah, okay. So hopefully that can be connected. And I think Nan, Engage Media with the also the thing that you the open government initiative, that's a bit wider, right? Can you might want to speak a bit more about that?
Yeah, I suppose to address Chu's comment, we have an ongoing project, Greater Internet Freedom Initiative, and that covers both South and Southeast Asia, because we do notice a pattern of violations and digital rights and digital safety issues. So we work in Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Maldives, and then Indonesia, Philippines, seven countries. So yeah, and I'm the coordinator for that project. So feel free to reach out for any collaboration.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's.
And it's also our collaborator on that project. I think Kirana.
Yeah, Kirana also raised a hand, which is I think this is fantastic. We're already building connections and solidarity networks here and there. I hope this could really build up more into other things, which, you know, New Narrative would love to be a part of it as well. So let's all keep in touch. But yeah, Kirana.
Hi, hello. So I'd just like to share what we do at APHR as in Parliamentarians for Human Rights. We're a network of former and current members of parliaments across Southeast Asia. We currently don't have members in Cambodia. We have one, but you know, those Mekong Bloc countries, but all others we have. As a part of our greater internet freedom advocacy, we also try to, as much as we can, inform parliamentarians about these deals, government deals with like procurements and this, Pegasus and other concerning security and defense deals with other countries, because also opposition parliamentarians are at risk, especially in Thailand. I think there are cases where opposition MPs in Thailand have been targeted as well, and not just the CSO. So we're trying to increase policymakers' awareness of these deals. And it's not just concerning for the oppositions. You know, with politics, you can be in the ruling government now, but can be the oppositions in 5 to 10 years later. So it's nobody's benefiting out of this. Everyone can be targets. So that's what we're trying to do as well. I think I'll just like to share that.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, that even people who sit in governments, and I think even people in Indonesia who sat like in the military, have really high positions, also were also targeted by Pegasus. So it's definitely something that's, you know, it's not just the activists, but it's also the activists and opposition governments and a couple of people who otherwise, you know, the activists might actually hate, but you know, hey, both of us are getting Pegasus by different people, but you know, Pegasus is a pain for all of these multiple people, multiple parties. Which brings me to the question, though. Chutmani, maybe you can take this, but has there been, have you heard anything about like people who are actually sitting in, not activists, maybe like as Kirana mentioned, opposition of the government and stuff like that, who have also been targeted by Pegasus and would like to support the cause? Or has the lawsuit so far been very concentrated to just a handful of activists without really people from other parties or other positions of power getting involved?
So there are some oppositions that actually have been targeted by Pegasus spyware, and they take that matters into the parliamentary sessions. But our lawsuit focus on political activists because we want to show the pictures that this one is politically motivated, and because we don't want the court to reject our case based on, because ILAW filed one lawsuit before ours and it was rejected because there were a lot of plaintiffs in that lawsuit, like political activists, lawyers, academics and other stuff, but it was rejected because the court ruled that as a different occasions. So that's why our lawsuit only focuses on one plaintiff or two plaintiffs at maximum right now. So like I mentioned, litigation is one thing, but we also still need support from someone in power that can help us have some like policy changes, policy reform about digital surveillance, about Pegasus spyware. So even if we do not engage with them in the litigation, we still have to engage with them in some kind of a social campaign or social forums and other stuff. So I think their role would be in that kind of sense more in Thailand.
Yeah, okay, I see. Massimo, what about in Indonesia? Have you ever talked to, or has like SafeNet ever spoken to the people in governments who are targeted, or in the military who are targeted by Pegasus? Has there been any conversation with like people in power?
They don't want to speak. They don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, even if they were a target, so they still don't want to talk about that. I see. That's a little curious though.
Maybe that is a bigger power.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we can. There's always those kinds of like backroom dealings and discussions that's happening. Unfortunately, yeah. I guess yeah. Let's start with you again, Gai Mao, about what do you think is the most important thing for us to do right now about the whether key actions, advocacy initiatives, or simply, you know, you did mention about digital hygiene, you did mention about changing behaviors, but how do we actually push to mitigate these threats in the future as Pegasus keeps on getting more advanced, as spywares keep getting more advanced, there are other products, there are all of these things, but we also need to be more advanced, not only in our behavior, but also in our solidarity and also in our in pushing for legislations, I guess, or again, advocacies of certain kinds. What do you think need to be prioritized right now?
Besides to speak about, to train, to learn something new about techy thing that we don't have to learn about that, all of us, someone have to still push the law issue like chat money and from ILaw. I don't know, and Indonesia, there is will be people like that, and yeah, changing our behavior is also important. So we cannot depend our security, digital security, to our phone, mobile phone, to software, to tools, to updating, but also we must take care ourselves right now. We don't have any regulation yet to support us. So we believe in SafeNet. Someday we can build collective awareness, if I may say it like that, from any, I don't know what will be called, but we can come together and say that this issue, not only Pegasus, not only NSO, but wiretapping and illegal access, spyware and something like this, that is illegal practice. And if there is no, that is the important thing for me is supervision and accountability that been done by credible and independent institution or people, that is must. So if we don't have that, yeah, we still have to hide ourselves.
Yeah, thank you so much, Kak Imal. Chatmani, what about you? Any thoughts on this and your final remarks as well?
Just like to add on. So in Thailand, we have a lot of laws, and sometimes having too many laws is not a good idea. So the laws in Thailand right now is used for tools. It's used as tools for the government to exploit your privacy, to exploit personal information. It's very vague and open for interpretation in a way that it could violate human rights. So to add on to that, I think practice is the problem. Legal provisions is the problem. So one of the way to advocate for this is to policy change, having some healthy dialogue with people in power, with the policymakers. I think the policy should be a little bit more human rights centric, people centric, and set a clear criteria for the use of surveillance technologies. That means it did the law or whatever. So just so that the laws can be used to actually protect people and not be a tools for the government to exploit your privacy, to exploit your tax, to buy some expensive spyware to gain access to your personal information. So yeah, just to add on, I think policies and legal provision reform might be one of the way to fight against Pegasus and spyware.
I guess to synthesize that, this is a challenging time. This is like a very complex issue again with the whole surveillance thing, with the whole spywares, but also, you know, shrinking civic space in general across Southeast Asia and beyond. I'm sure we all have a lot of anxieties, a lot of fears, a lot of questions maybe surrounding this still, despite the discussions. But as Imal said earlier, take care of ourselves, you know, take care of each other, stay vigilant, make sure you practice digital hygiene. Again, be wary of your behavior, and then push for collective awareness of these things, and collective awareness specifically in the realm of, as Chatmani mentioned, how are laws and how are all of these narratives being used against us? Like, a lot of laws doesn't mean it's not always a good thing. It can be a bad thing when it's exploitative. So collective awareness, and also critical awareness of how, whether the things we practice, whether the things we obey, whether the laws that are being enacted are already human-centric or not. And then just demanding them, just creating conversations about enlarging these civic spaces and stuff like that. Okay. Okay. So thank you so much once again. Give a big round of applause to our two speakers. I know this is online, but still this has been amazing. And thank you so much everyone else for the participation. And there you have it, our first podcast recorded in front of a live audience. If you'd like to participate in these kinds of discussions as they happen and get to ask questions directly to the speakers and share your own thoughts and experiences, become a member at newnarrative.com/join. We would really, really appreciate it. My name is Bonibel Ramatan, and this has been Southeast Asia Dispatches, brought to you by New Narrative and produced by Dania Udo. I'll see you around.